listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio. Thanks for tuning into RCR, Reality Check Radio. The following interview contains topics that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. If you would like to contact us in regards to any of our content, please email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. That's inbox@realitycheck.radio.
Now we've got Brian Mullane. Just be aware, it's a bit sensitive. We're going to be talking about paedophiles. So I've let you know. That's it. It's a moving story that you're going to hear. Here on Reality Check Radio, it's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Oh my goodness, you can send us a text at 2057. You can email me at inbox@realitycheck.radio. One of the more disturbing cases, and you get a few coming through your door when you're a constituent MP, concerned a young man who noticed it very difficult in life to get jobs, get work, and he had applied to get into the police and had never got there. And it turned out that at that time, this was in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, but in the 90s, the police were operating what's called an information noting system, where they just noted, you know, something suspicious. And it was initially in notebooks, but then it got computerized and any police could dial it up. Interestingly, it's not on your police file, but you can ask for what's held on you by the then information noting system. And what had happened was this young man was a babysitting in the neighborhood when he was like 16. And he babysat for a baby, right? The baby was in the cot. And at that time, there was an American grandmother visiting from America. And remember, there was all this alarm about one in four kids were molested as children, and it just got way out of hand. And it turned out this grandmother complained to the police that this young man had molested the baby. And the police turned up to interview him, took him in with his father and interviewed him, and realized that there was sort of nothing there, I think. Plus, the mother had now gone back to the States, and there it rested. And this guy literally forgot all about it. But subsequently, his career struggled, and he couldn't understand it, because he kept getting denied opportunities. Like, for example, he was denied entry into the police. And he and his father finally figured it out, because anyone asking for a background check would be told not to employ him because he was suspected to be a paedophile. I've got to tell you, I struggled even a bit myself looking into his case, because you hear the word paedophile and you run a mile, right? And the more they explain to you that they're not, the more you think, oh, could be a paedophile, right? Because I don't know what a paedophile looks like or behaves. But in the event, I took his case on to find out what happened. And eventually it was removed from the police noting system. Now, bear in mind, he'd never been charged. Yes, he'd been questioned, but no big deal. So small a deal, in a funny way, they forgot all about it. I don't even know if they were taken to the police station, now that I think about it. And it was just decided that the grandmother was overhyped. We've got a 10-year veteran of the police who also got caught up in something similar. This thing somehow became called the red stamp system. And we're talking with Brian Mullane, who was 10 years a police officer. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Rodney.
Thank you for your service as a police officer.
Thank you.
Because not everyone can run towards danger. We tend to want to run away with it, run away from it. But a policeman, a fireman, first aider, soldier, sailor, airman, your job is to run towards the danger, isn't it?
Yes, that's for sure.
And stop it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a big deal. Complete strangers, and you have to be prepared to sacrifice your health and safety on behalf of complete strangers, members of the public, sometimes who themselves you may be wondering, why am I doing this? Because this person isn't exactly a great citizen, but you do it because that's your job.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I want to thank you for that and all the police officers. Now, you left the police force and then you got tangled up in this red stamp business where, through bizarre circumstances, you get red stamped, and you being you, you're like a dog with a bone, and you put a considerable effort, 10 years, I believe, into researching this to find out how the hell could this happen. And you discovered at least 200 other people who had been similarly afflicted, oftentimes with dire circumstances. Can you walk us through this red stamp business and how it affects people?
Yeah, the police have a system called the National Intelligence Application, which is their recording of all interactions, really, not just complaints or convictions. It's when you have an interaction with a police officer or someone else who's gone to the police complaining about your behaviour or something you may have done or said, which is really then only hearsay. It's not fact, because no one has investigated, but it goes on your record and it stays there and can be dragged off at any time. And used against you.
What's the name of the system, Dave? Yeah, you called it a national NIA, National Intelligence Application. Okay, I got that. So they have this thing, and like, for example, if there was.
That's right.
A domestic dispute in my house.
Time, date, and place. The imperative.
And the police
information
turned up,
needed.
And we said, they say, no, everything's good.
Yep, so that goes on to your.
No trouble here.
NIA.
The neighbours had called it in because they heard.
So you all got a file.
Or something. Or indeed there was domestic abuse, whatever. That would be noted on that system, like a policeman's notebook in the old days. And that could be for the most mundane things. You could be a witness and you'd be noted. Now, people That's often right. ask for their police files. Yes. I'm just going off at a tangent while it occurs to me. As I understand it, when you ask for your police files, they don't give you the national.
For sure. Yes.
God, I get the wrong name wrong. National Intelligence Application.
You know, even if you go on to the police
assistance, they don't hand that across because it's not part of your police file.
You're details are
is that true?
Therefore recorded and retained in your NIA file.
Very hard to get through your life without some or other interaction with the police, right? So potentially everyone's in there.
No.
And of course, in the old days, a policeman's notebook couldn't be accessed nationally in seconds.
Yes.
And
and you're relying on the honesty or the intelligence of
and
the officer who's entering
the
information.
The policeman was making notes unless
to put
he was
the right
that,
facts
that information
in.
Was
so
needed in court
they've
or
gone
needed
off,
to make a decision about
if
whether to
gone
prosecute
off on a tangent,
or to report how the accident
then you've got
what,
no way
of the
accident. It.
But this every interaction now is in a database and searchable. Yes. Because he could, I'm just doing a hypothetical scenario. I've got the TV going loud, say, and there's a big fight on the TV. The neighbours hear it, hear a woman screaming, say, oh, that's Rodney Hyde beating his wife up. Call the police. The police turn up. My wife says, no, there's nothing going on here. She's got no visible signs of distress or damage. But the policeman says, oh, that's that Rodney Hyde guy, right?
That's right.
I always thought he was a bit suspect. And you just note that you were called out. There was no obvious distress, but you were suspicious. There was a hint. And you write something slightly untoward there, right? I don't even know that's happened. But I'm now flagged in a database as a person that is suspected or indeed has been alleged or indeed there has been a complaint about, all of which is true.
No.
Domestic abuse.
In my case, I had
because
no
I was
idea
suspected.
Whatsoever.
There was a complaint.
Nor did my alleged victim.
And that's in the database. And I'm completely innocent. That could wreck a political career. No one knows about this. Brian,
what 29th of January 2014, I had been up to that point, had been 30 years as a taxi driver.
Tell us how you
and,
got on
part of that,
finding out about
Force.
This thing, because it is
but,
a horrendous
on the,
story, catch
on that
22,
date, a senior man of the police,
enemy of the state.
Sorry,
I mean, it's just
NZTA, who
shocking.
Was the,
how did you come across
the
it?
Policeman of the taxi industry. Well, first of all, two guys came up to my taxi on a taxi rank and removed my taxi license from me. And they couldn't tell me why, gave me a phone number of this guy in Christchurch and telling me to ring him. And immediately the taxi company had to shut me down on their computer system, so therefore I couldn't work. I went back to my taxi office and they... well, one of the managers arranged a lawyer for me, and I went and saw him on the following 2 days later, 31st of January 2014, and we met. No convictions, nothing. Yes, yes. Yeah, both ends.
Just let's get a context here, Brian. It's a struggle even at this point. You'd been driving a taxi for how long?
Yeah.
And never had a problem. You're sitting there going about your work.
Yes.
Two strangers.
Yep.
From NZTA, were they, I guess?
And then on a Wednesday, the 29th
and say
of
we're taking your
January,
Friday. Identification, I guess, at you?
I contacted this lawyer.
We
were and also contacted the guy, the top man of the NZTA policing
unit. So your
30-year we arranged a meeting at the lawyer's office
over.
In Parirua the following Friday,
for that day,
the 31st. And
it was
at that meeting.
Carry on.
That this senior man, he was an ex-cop himself, a detective, senior sergeant in police for 30-odd years. And he told me, we've got evidence, or police have told me, that that you had made contact with a young person who was 15 years old a number of years ago, but he didn't give me any affirmative date. He said to me, I want you to name that person. He said, I don't know the person's name. Yes. And he said, that's right. So he said, I want you to name that person. And then he said, I can't even tell you who. He said that the information to police was given to police by
I'm
a psychologist.
I'm sorry to laugh over such
and,
a tragic thing, but this
he didn't know the name of that psychologist either.
This is out of
either.
A horror show already.
Now, going forward a bit, I later learned that
I'm
he
sorry,
knew both
I
names.
I apologize for laughing.
But he was trying to entrap me into naming anyone else other than the name he had to prove the point that I was a predatory pedophile, not just a pedophile. So, So, anyway, moving on, he said, we're going to give you one of two options. You can go before a judge and challenge my decision because he stripped me of my rights. He said, you're not going to drive again until one
is
gone before a judge. And if you go to a judge, police will send me a file.
Goodness me.
Or you can go before... You can have a psychological evaluation by an NZTA-approved psychologist at your own expense, and that could take up to 3 months. And the lawyer that was supposed to be representing me confirmed that fact. He said, I've just had a case similar, and it took me nearly 3 months to get a lawyer because they're so busy. To get a psychologist because they're so busy. But I knew from my police experience, a judge wasn't going to investigate the evidence that police had. So I opted for the psychologist option. And that eventually took 6 weeks. And sure enough, that psychologist interviewed the alleged victim and that person's parents and myself. And from those interviews, he deduced that there was no offence, nothing happened. The outcome of that was I had commitments like for rent
again,
and payments on my taxi.
I just can't.
I went and took a job.
Laugh. I don't know.
At a local
so
vineyard.
Hysterically wrong.
And, that would have given me 6 weeks.
Can't
work. The psychologist
this,
said, "Look,
Brian.
This could take up to 6 weeks." So I went and got a job at a vineyard picking grapes. And I was enjoying it. I had 6 days there. Well, the contractor had hired me, kept telling me, bring your IRD number in. We need your IRD number. So in the third day, I got it to him. And 3 days later, the same contractor came to me and said, Brian, you're too old and too slow. We have to get rid of you. And I thought, well, that's strange. I'm just as same as everyone else, just as fast. Anyway, 6 weeks later, he put on a barbecue for all the pickers, and it was there he told these people, these are the workers, that the owners of the vineyard had received information that I was a paedophile and they wanted me off their property. And that's why I was too old and too slow. And I made inquiries subsequent, and the information came from IRD either directly or through another agency, police or NCTA, who had contacted the vineyards and told them, this guy's a paedophile, get him off his work. So I got my taxi license back from the psychologist interviews, but now I had no taxi to drive because my taxi was repossessed. I immediately contacted Toyota Finance, said, look, this is my situation. We've got no option but to repossess your taxi. So that was it. I had my taxi license back, but no taxi to drive, and I've never worked since.
Appalling. But you can also appreciate people because we have such a horror of paedophilia.
Yeah, well, that's but
if officials tell you that they suspect or know that someone's a paedophile, your instant reaction is to get the hell out of there, right? Get that person away from us. But that's what they were doing to you. So a complaint had been made against you, funnily enough, by someone not even party to your interaction with the supposed victim. That had gone on to the system. As soon as a psychologist,
at that stage 12 years old, and I'd passed every annual police vet
right
in those 12 years.
Decision.
It was on. So that was on the 13th year that they decided to declare that I was a pedophile.
And they said, there's nothing here. You yourself were never aware, were you, of any allegation?
Yes.
No. Of course, because you needed it for your taxi.
Yes, $1,750.
And not only that, to walk up to you, not on the annual check, but to walk up you on a random day. Then you had this 6 week period, and the psychologist, if I'm correct, was at your expense. Then you have the 6 weeks where you can't work. You've got to pay for your taxi hire purchase, whatever you call it, finance. You get to work at a vineyard. The owner of the vineyard gets told by a state agent, you've got a guy there that's a pedo. They understandably tell the contractor, get rid of that guy. The contractor is not wanting to accuse you of a heinous crime. So comes up with some excuse to ask you to leave. He is subsequently at a barbecue with his workers and your former work colleagues, and they say, oh, you know, what happened to that old guy that was working with us? Oh, well, we got wind that he was a pedo. Wow. You're now besmirched and defamed by those around you. You're unable to earn any money. You lose your car, which was your precise means of employment for 30 years. You get your taxi license back, but it's useless to you because you don't have a taxi. The psychologist
did, at my expense, $1,750, what Press should have done 13 years earlier.
Totally innocent. Never been questioned. Never had the allegation put to you other than through that psychologist that you employed. Have I summarized that accurately? This is the most sinister and dangerous thing that can happen to a person. So sinister and so dangerous because, for example, a pupil could have a snitch on a teacher,
stepfather,
someone could have a snitch on a police officer, a doctor, a nurse, Joe Blogs in the street.
That's right.
Make a complaint. Please go and have a look at it. Note it on the National Information Application Database. National Intelligence Database. I apologize. National Intelligence Application. And you're red stamped. And you may not even know. You subsequently apply to work, as a gardener in a school, or
that's right. Yeah.
To take your kids to a football match, and the school says, oh, we just need a background check. And you say, sure.
That's right.
Comes back to the school. Don't let this person near kids. Correct? And you get told some lame excuse that you're not needed. And there's a whole whispering thing around your community. That you've been flagged for police. I live
very, very remotely from kids. The nearest town. And luckily, I'm living on a farm, renting a property on a farm. And the farm owners, knowing my situation, that they rent free for 18
and
months.
And now out of work?
On the condition that I painted all the three houses, three dwellings, and all shed and a whole lot of other buildings. If I painted all those, you know, they provided everything. I was living rent-free. And by that time, in May 2013, I started getting the pension. So it wasn't so bad. But every agency that should have been helping me, they obviously had a flag on my file with every government department, whether it be WINS or IRDA, whatever, red stamp warning. Now, the red stamp warning is the most despicable part. This ex-cop that handed me this piece of paper, the red stamp warning stated this person not to have unsupervised access to children, young people, or the more vulnerable members of society. No further information available. So that's all the information, the employer is handed that piece of paper and told to get rid of this person because whether it be a school teacher, a taxi driver or whatever, anyone that is required to have an annual police vet as a term of their, as a condition of their employment, they have to be vetted every year, school teachers, taxi drivers. They get handed this piece of paper, or the employer gets it, and they've got no idea what it's about because police haven't told them. All they've got to do is get rid of this person because police have said he's got a red stamp warning. Yeah, it's exactly, yeah. Well, it must have because I got my license back.
And if they ask the police, well, can you provide us any information? The police will say no. But surely your red stamp went away once you got the psychologist's report. Yes. Yep.
But they would have no idea.
Someone less aware of the system, an ex-police officer who knows the ropes. They could be applying for jobs. You could be an electrician and wonder why you're not getting jobs with government departments, which make up possibly 50% of your work. By the way, I had a lot of this also as an MP with messy divorces where typically an ex-wife, and I mean when I'm saying I had a lot of this, you know, possibly 10 over 3 or 6 years, which is a lot, where in a messy divorce, the wife and the husband having an argument over access to the children, and the wife as a tactic, I have to say oftentimes on the advice of their lawyer, would say, I suspect my ex was physically or sexually abusing the children. Make the complaint to the police, which is totally costless and has no consequence. And then I had a man who was sacked as an electrician because the company he worked with did a lot of work for the education department. Same thing, right?
Yes. I've been 10 years still
you
still
on this. You didn't leave it there, though.
And every day, because you up thought new evidence that you of, would skullduggery.
I guess
that incriminates seek some a lot of government departments
and
that
some
should
accountability.
Be helping. Government investigative departments
for the
that should be helping
of your
victims like myself are totally
investigated.
They can't
stamp
do
business
anything.
Further,
they've been
right?
told not to do anything. Such as IPCA, Privacy Commissioner, they all made so-called investigations, but then dismissed. Police did nothing wrong.
That's my experience as a member of parliament. My experience as a member of parliament, that the IRD and the police literally trump every other government department when it comes to an individual case. Because they have such power. and they have such access to information. I know MPs are scared of both, because you can imagine the IRD and the police can destroy an MP's career just by making an allegation, oh, we're investigating something. And government departments run a mile from a proper inquiry into police and IRD actions.
unless
the complaint is of a politically correct narrative, if you know what I mean. Would that be your experience?
For sure. And I've been saying this all along, if I had been married, none of this would be happening to me.
Ain't got a shot. A radical Maori or a woman?
Yes, yes.
It favours them.
I honestly believe that, but it's taking a long time to wake people up that you are
a Maori.
There are them and us races in this
for
country,
example.
And
you know, if you're an ACT MP Maori, you know what I mean? It's crazy. It's crazy.
I don't think so because I would have just gone into a police station, which I did on this occasion, Brian? And the cops said, Wellington Central don't know what the hell I'm talking about. We can't help you. You'll have to contact the police commissioner or get hold of someone at police headquarters to help you. I fired off hundreds, literally hundreds of emails pleading for help, and no one responds. It's just a wall is put up in front of you. But I mean, that was the same with a lot of the government departments. No government department has ever interacted with me in relation to the red stamp warning crisis that destroyed me. I don't think so. No. I doubt it. Well, Yeah, I realise that, yeah.
You think they still suspect you? Because the funny thing about you is, gosh.
For sure.
You could have just buried your head and got on with your life, because
truth and justice is probably the best two words to describe it.
You're keeping reminding everyone that you were in the system, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I mean, even coming on this show, it's like, is he legit? But of course, you're 100% are, because if you weren't legit, you wouldn't be raising your head up.
There's a barrier between them. And
what keeps you going, Brian?
You've got to. For sure.
The same thing that probably put you into the police to begin with.
Yes, yeah. Initially, right at the beginning, police were answering all my OIAs I was sending to police headquarters, the police vetting service. And what I found was that the vetting service were
rotating their
managers fairly regularly.
You can't stand by when there's been a wrong. You have discovered
August 2013 like when yourself? They put a superintendent in charge of the vetting service. And that sort of rang a bell for me, because a superintendent is a wasted talent if he's just policing a vetting service. But I lost my train of thought there. What are we talking about? Oh, sorry. Yes. I've located initially the very first OIA asked us how many red stamp warnings were issued. And I got a response back, 133 at the same time as mine. They were all dated the 13th of February, 13th of June 2013. But they weren't all executed at that same time. But we're talking about other victims,
that you came across.
Some people went straight to court or were persecuted, like a school teacher, for example, down the West Coast, who was persecuted by the Teachers' Council through an ex-cop that was put into that Teachers' Council disciplinary board for the sole purpose of making sure anyone who had a red stamp warning was never saw truth or justice or was persecuted, hounded. And that's what happened. This poor bugger down on the West Coast was, the police were executed a search warrant on his classroom while the school was in, the class was in. They exited and took away his computer. Now, the local cops down there had already done a proper inquiry into the allegation made against them, but that didn't fit the police headquarters red stamp regime. So they sent in a team of cops from outside the area, and that caused friction between the local cops. And that went on for 18 months. This guy was persecuted. Past and present students, whenever they saw him on the street, they would call out to him, pedo, tormented him. And eventually they arrested him. We went to court and got off because police didn't have enough evidence. But he was persecuted all that time. His life was destroyed. And that was just another example. Yes. Yeah.
This man took his life. I remember helping the young man that had the note on his thing, and that thought that everywhere you went at any stage, it could be made public that you were a paedophile. And I wondered, as you do, what I would do in that circumstance. And I don't believe you should take your own life.
Yeah.
I think it's a sin. But I thought I'd probably jump off the Auckland Harbour Bridge. Because it's such,
yes.
I mean, having someone say murder is one bit pedophile.
That's right.
That is so. And you're sitting there saying, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Everyone knows. And, of course, the hatred we feel for people that hurt kids is so strong that it overrides reason. So it's not like that guy who was the eye surgeon, did he murder his wife or did he not? Well, we don't know. We weren't there. I need to have a trial. Need to look at it. Oh, well. Yep. May have done, but we can't prove it beyond reasonable doubt. So he goes free. And we think about that with respect to a murderer. Yeah. But for some reason, when it comes to a pedo or a pedophile, someone can just make the allegation and people literally join in. And that poor teacher, I mean, the amazing thing to me is that he lasted 18 months.
My observation is they've chosen paedophilia as a weapon of attack because
I'm going to say it,
you really
bastards,
got no defense. Police are making the accusation
on a file,
then it must be true.
take no responsibility or accountability for the damage they do.
Yes. And the victim, even if they don't know the circumstances of where the allegation originated, well, what defence have they got?
Of course, and
that's what police were relying on in these red stamp warnings. They were hoping the accused, in this case me, would just go away and melt into the never never, because I'm going to be attacked forever as me. I'm labelled forever as a paedophile because police said you were. And
yes. Yes. Now let's come back to that. But I just want one question of clarification. By the way, thank you for this interview, Brian, and thank you for being so calm.
Yes.
And reasonable and going through it, because it can't be easy, right? Because this is your life. One thing is, all the dates.
I would say all the red stamp warning would have come into effect on that date.
You said those 132 or 133 odd. They all went on the system on the same day. I'm thinking, am I right, that there was a system rolled over and the complaints were previous to that date, but they got rolled into a new system on that date. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes.
That's right. They were historical complaints. It might have been a policeman's notebook. Now, here's the thing.
Yep.
I've said it previously, but this is also a potential political weapon. Because you can shut anyone up through the system, right? So, I don't know, Brian Tamaki causing a nuisance of himself, upsetting the apple cart. If he gets too big for his boots, a government, or indeed an individual, but you'd want people on board to make it happen, and they're ready to believe it. You're ready to believe the worst of people you disagree with. I've noticed this in politics, by the way, that people will come up with the most horrendous stories of the Prime Minister of the day. And those that oppose that Prime Minister of the day, yeah, I know it's true. My hairdresser knows the guy that made the fish and chips for the guy. You know what I mean? And yet when it's a prime minister they support, they say, no, not true. So when you take someone like a controversial figure, like Brian Tamaki, who brings out strong emotions of support.
Exactly.
And opposition. And in particular, strong opposition in the establishment. Because here is a guy who is Maori, organising Maori, to oppose what's going on.
Exactly.
So he's high on the establishment's enemy list. They could destroy him overnight. They could do it to you. They did it to you. They could do it to me. And I'm not going to succeed with a big sign on my...
I would say just treat everyone as equal.
I'm not a paedophile wandering around town.
It's the pendulum swung a whole way to the other side where if you
any
I can guarantee there were no marriages affected with these 133 red stamp warnings that police say they issued.
Justice back
I can guarantee
into the system.
That. I can't guarantee it, but I'm pretty adamant that that would be the case. And therefore, the justice system is punishing non-Maori to make it look like they're appeasing the Maori. Yes.
This is part of this equity drive, isn't it? To sort of even out the statistics. And it's like the idea that, you know, there's this big squadron of white supremacists.
Yeah, but
in
it
the
costs you $70.
The intelligence agencies have to be rooting
most
out.
Most people can.
In the wake of the Christchurch
they can't
mask
afford
attack.
That, you know, that's
it became a big thing that there were white supremacists under the bed sort of thing.
You mean Official Information Act? Or
be asking the police for this information on ourselves under the Privacy Act?
Right.
No! But I've done lots of Privacy Act requests. I've never been charged in my life.
Right. Yeah.
No, well, it's the equivalent of the Official Information Act, but you use the Privacy Act because it's more powerful, because there's a lot of reasons you can hold information, official information back. There's very limited reasons that you can hold private information back, because it's about you. If it's about me, I'd put in a Privacy Act request.
No, well, that's on there.
The Privacy
website.
Commissioner,
if you want your information,
felt maybe
it's going to cost you
$70 these days, was always less busy than the ombudsman dealing with the multitude of Official Information Act requests.
Well, now, again, it's like, you see, like accusing a person of being a paedophile, he's not going to kick up a fuss about that in case there is
something.
But
you think
they'd
want to charge me?
But the same thing, the person's not going to request this information if we charge them a certain amount of money.
Oh, I must have a look at that.
And this is the way it's gone. The whole system is just
tricks, aren't they?
You've got to roll with the punches, or else if you fight, then the punches get harder. That's the sad part about our new country.
I've just actually on their site now, and they say this, right? The New Zealand police may release any information they hold. Yeah. This is if I ask for a vet, right? So I'm a school, and I'm asking for a prospective gardener, and I ask for a vet, and they go through, obviously, the conviction history and demerit points, and then it says,
that's right.
Any interaction had with New Zealand police considered relevant to the role being vetted, including investigations that did not result in prosecution. Unbelievable, right? And you sign up.
No, well, it's
you
right.
sign up for that because you have to consent to them disclosing that information.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, there's a thing called the clean slate.
Sad.
And that means your conviction history.
Shakers and movers obviously have got
expunged.
But
not that
for
interaction,
doing it.
I would guess.
Yes, I listen to all
it
the
has
different.
It has that a double standard, right? If you're convicted,
theories in it, but yeah, I don't get caught up in that. But it's just
there's a fake
I'm facing the here and now, and
oh,
I want to try and help.
We live
see,
in.
The thing is, a lot of these people think they're the only person. They don't know what I know, and I can't contact them all. I'd love to get hold of them, and I found one. Yeah, for sure. Especially if it relates to the period,
this show helps.
2010 onwards.
Previous
to.
Would
too,
you
I,
mind
I,
if
I,
we
I just
put
love it.
Your details?
I'd love to hear that information.
Up with our replay so that anyone that wanted to could contact you? Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Just looking on that site again, the police helpfully say this, right? If you require a copy of your criminal record, you can obtain this from the Ministry of Justice. But of course, that's not the information. If you'd applied for your criminal record, it would come up zip. And then they say at the bottom here, the police vetting service does not, in quotes, approve or decline vetting requests or give recommendations on suitability for employment. We only provide information to agencies to allow them to make an informed decision. Isn't that terrible? And of course, all the way through, they have that, what's that great phrase, plausible deniability.
Yes, sir.
The person
that handed it across
to the NZTA or handed it across to the vineyard owner, this is what we're to do. It was in the system. I was obligated.
Sure.
Yeah. It wasn't me that put it on there.
Sir.
You know, and it just tricks back. And it's basically...
Thank you. Yeah, I'll just want to say Mrs. something.
Gossett.
Hearsay is inadmissible in every court of the land. And
any police officer worth
tribunal.
Their salt in their training would know about the standards of evidence. Brian, I salute you, sir. No, or the police vetting system. Brian, I wish you every success. Please keep in touch. I know we'll get a lot of feedback about your case. And as I said, I have experienced that with constituents. So it's not
unknown
to me. And you realize that systems that people put much great faith in New Zealand has been abused. And we think we're not corrupt like other nations because we have no mechanism of exposing it. Thank you for your double service, Brian. First as a police officer working to protect us. And second, man on a mission to explain what happened to you, what has happened to others, some of whom who no longer can speak for themselves, and to stop it happening. And I'm sure you're right that you know of maybe a couple of hundred, there'll be a lot more. Okay, Brian, You can send us a text, everyone, 2057. You can email me, inbox at Radley Check Radio. I thank you for listening. We're truly blessed, are we not, with the people that come forward to share their story and tell us their lives. And here is a man served as a police officer. He's not a man that allows his life to be ruined because he gets on with it. But they took away his job. They took away his car. They did it by taking away his taxi license. And when they came to give it back, it was too late. And Brian Mullane did nothing wrong. It's New Zealand, our country. Thank you for listening.
Do you want to be part of something that's big, that matters, and that's making a difference? The RCR Foundation Members Club is here. Get exclusive benefits and the knowledge you're supporting truth and freedom in the media. All the details are on our website at www.realitycheck.radio/members and see how you can join the mission that's making a difference.